Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
You're very welcome back to Lunchtime Live. Anna Daly in for Andrea today. Now, consultant endocrinologist Dr. Mary Ryan is with me on the line to answer all of your hormone-related questions. Good afternoon to you, Mary.
Good afternoon, Anna. How are you doing? Lovely to talk to you again.
Likewise, Mary. The questions have come in thick and fast for you, so we'll get straight into them. And they're quite detailed,
absolutely.
So bear with me.
No problem. I'll
read them out because obviously they're very important to listeners, and lots of listeners, I'd imagine, will identify with lots of them as well. The first one is, okay. I was diagnosed with PMDD and my GP tried all the treatment options. I was referred to my gynecologist and she trialled me on chemical menopause. That completely relieved my symptoms, which were so severe that last summer I felt suicidal. I had radical hysterectomy in February and thankfully my moods are stable. I'm 46 and the hot flushes can be quite severe. I haven't had my checkup since the surgery, but I know the gynecologist was reluctant to add hormones back as they were the cause of all my issues. Do I have any other options?
So she's in menopause now, isn't it? That's what I understand from that question, does she, Anna?
Yes, I think so.
She had hysterectomy.
Yeah. Now, you might explain the PMDD, Mary.
I will, of course. PMDD is basically where patients are very sensitive to estrogen and progesterone, particularly mid-cycle, but also, right, basically they're very sensitive to the rise in estrogen that occurs mid-cycle at ovulation and the rise in progesterone that occurs particularly the week before the period. And they get very emotional, they get very exhausted, they get very tired, and basically the pituitary gland is just not able for those rises. And we find that in the recent studies, we find that natural progesterone, the bioidentical progesterone, really does help patients at this time. There's a lot of studies out now showing that. So I think up to this, women weren't researched at all. And now we are finally listening to the stories of women and finally the research has been done. But certainly the bioidentical estrogen or a progesterone that's available now that we use for HRT, we're using this in women with PMDD. And what it does is, it's basically the byproduct of the natural bioidentical progesterone helps inhibit the GABA and does this relaxing, calming effect on the brain and really does help. So in that lady where she's had this hysterectomy, I wouldn't have any problem with her using a low-dose estrogen. Obviously, I'd keep an eye on her estradiol levels. And even in patients, normally with patients when we have the womb in, we didn't add in progesterone before because the only reason we added in the bioidentical progesterone was to do the balance of, if you add in estrogen, you didn't want a thickened lining of the womb. But now we're finding in the research that progesterone has an additional calming effect to the brain. It helps women sleep, because a lot of women in menopause and perimenopause, one of the big things is the lack of sleep. And of course, that's going to exacerbate any hormone imbalance you have. So we do find adding in a natural progesterone, a low dose, actually does help those women. So in that lady, I would definitely like to see, start off with the low dose, see how she gets on, and add in if there's problem sleeping, you know, I certainly would add in a low dose progesterone. But the hormones we're using now, Anna, are not synthetic. They're bioidentical. So they're very same as our own natural hormones. So they're a lot safer. We're using them in the gel form, the spray form. Now, the micronized progesterone is in a tablet or a vaginal pessary, but the estrogens are in gels or sprays or patches. So they're way, way safer. And of course, they're not synthetic. So I think that's the big difference between before and now, you know, so that they're way, way safer.
There's so many different forms available as well.
Yeah, and that we can check and see. And definitely with that lady, I would suggest go slowly and then getting her estrogen levels checked.
Yes, because some people don't absorb that estrogel. Is that right, Mary?
Absolutely. You're so right. Everyone is different, and putting body creams on and everything can affect absorption. And we would often find that where a patch would work in some women, the gel would work better, or the spray would work better. So everyone is different. We don't all fit into the same box. And I think that's the big thing. And that every woman's story is different. And just to find out what works best for her. But the days of women suffering are long gone, thankfully.
Yeah.
And definitely I wouldn't be putting up with symptoms. Definitely when we've treatment out there. And I said, it's all bioidentical now. So it's to go slow and check and see what suits her.
And that check your levels as you go. Okay.
Yeah. Most definitely, yeah.
The next one, Mary, is I'm 59 years of age. I haven't taken any HRT or anything else related to the menopause. I feel great. No more hot flushes. My mum is now 85, went through menopause unaffected. I'm worried, should I be taking something? As I listen to friends saying I'll suffer later with problems, I've had a bone density test and the results were all good.
Okay, so the advice is that the window of opportunity when we should be starting HRT is when we become symptomatic or when we become when the estrogen levels drop at perimenopause. So for most women, it's about 50, and then the benefits are for 10 years. So that's the advice. Having said that, so we know that the HRT, but particularly the estrogen, is really good for bone health, for heart health, for brain health. And the studies would say definitely for 10 years it's hugely beneficial. And after that, then there's probably the old studies would have said a slight risk in heart disease after 60. However, now the fact that we're using the bioidentical estrogen progesterone, the newer studies are showing huge benefits of estrogen progesterone. And really, we need those studies to come out sooner. So I would say with that lady, that she probably has missed the window if her period was back, as you know, she lost menopausal at 49. It all depends when she got menopause. But if she was menopause, say 55, 56, which some women have periods right until then, well, then she could go on it for another 5 years.
Okay.
But at that stage, Anna, we'll have way more information out about how long we should be going. Like at the moment, what we do is, you know, when women are 60, the advice is to stop it. However, with women that are symptomatic, we have to keep them on it and just keep an eye out that we are checking their heart and their brain. But all the research is changing rapidly, and I do believe there'll be a time we'll be taking HRT right up to our 90s, quite honestly.
It does look like that's going to be the future picture, doesn't it?
Yeah, without question.
Can you ask Mary, I'm in my 20s, I exercise 4 times a week and have always been quite active. No matter what I do, how much weight I lose, I really struggle to lose weight and build muscle on my upper body, back and arms in particular. Could be due to my hormones, or could this be due to my hormones? And what can I do to improve it if it is?
Yeah, so I would be, if someone like that who's struggling with losing weight, even though she's eating healthy and building muscle, which is great resistance exercise and a great way of burning calories, I would be thinking, does she have a mild PCOS, or the new name, which is so right, is polyandrogen metabolic ovarian syndrome. And just to explain to patients what that is, it's basically where the FSH hormone from the hormone control center, when we're all starting our period, that FSH hormone is pumping estrogen receptors in our ovaries and our womb, and that's what creates the follicle that will eventually cause ovulation at day 14, and then if it's not fertilized, we have the period in day 28. So in women with the PMS, the new form of PCOS, which is what we've just been branded, because it encompasses more women, which is so right. What is happening there is that FSH hormone is overstimulating the estrogen receptors in these women. They're getting microcysts in the ovaries that are often not picked up on the pelvic ultrasound. Those cysts produce too much bad insulin, which means that they put on weight, and even though they're eating healthy and exercising, they're not losing the weight because of that insulin resistance. Those cysts also produce too much estrogen, Anna, which converts into the androgen pathway, and you can get excess hair and acne, and also makes the period irregular. Now, the reason we changed the name was some women might have some of those symptoms, half of those symptoms, or all of them. So some women might just get the weight thing, like that woman, she mightn't have irregular periods. Another woman might have all of them. So the point is, it's so easily treated, it's so easily get that period back to normal, get rid of those microcysts and get rid of that bad insulin. So now we can treat those women, and they're no longer struggling with weight. They're no longer struggling, which is putting them at risk of diabetes and heart disease down the road. But also, they're not going to have fertility problems, because we see a lot of these women coming in their 30s, and they've not only have to increase weight, but they've also, irregular periods and difficulty getting pregnant. So it's all about catching them in time.
And getting it early.
That's what I love. Yeah, absolutely. Prevent problems. And they've high self-esteem in their teens and their 20s instead of going around with excess weight due to a hormonal problem, which should have been sorted years ago.
And can have other knock-on effects, of course.
Yeah,
I'm going to give you one
absolutely.
More very pacey question, Mary. I had a baby 4 months ago. I'm not breastfeeding. I had a difficult birth, placenta abruption, emergency C-section and a rupture in my womb. I also had to have a hernia repair surgery a week later as well. My periods returned, but now I have a period of a week or so and then nothing. And then a week later, I have heavy level of spotting for a day or two. So almost two periods a month now. Is this normal after a baby?
She's only what age?
She is 35 and it's her third baby.
Okay, very good. So it's early for perimenopause. I think our hormones just need to be reset and that we'll get normal. Often if you've been through a lot of trauma, or a lot of women will get this after having a baby, they're exhausted from the nights of feeding and not sleeping, and the hormone growth center can just be overtired and takes a while for things to set. I would definitely check her prolactin, because that hormone can go up just with the stress of not sleeping and exhaustion, and that'll inhibit ovulation as well. One of the best ways here is check her hormones, check her thyroid. Thyroid is a big impact on hormone health, and natural progesterone might work very well at resetting her periods. And then we would see how she gets on. Yes, some women do get perimenopausal in late 30s, but it's not usual. And with her history there, I'm thinking that this is just all due to exhaustion, tiredness. She's been through an awful lot, and that should sort it.
Of course, and it's a difficult time as well. Mary, a wealth of wisdom as always. The book is out. It's probably your period. Thank you very much, Dr. Mary Ryan, for joining us on Lunchtime Live this afternoon.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.